Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to another edition of Monstrous Radio, where you can hear the hottest independent music in the world, and a couple remixes play. So, what we do around here is, we do interviews, play the hottest music, and we show got the hottest host.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and get into it. So go on, kick back, get you a drink, do what you do,
yeah,
and enjoy the show.
Let's go.
Hey. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at?
Land.
Where you at?
Family.
Where you at?
Your.
Where you at?
Yeah.
Monstrous Radio.
So, alright, what's up, y'all? Welcome to another edition of Monster US Radio Podcast, right here brought to you by the MonstarsRadio.com network, sponsored by SolarMeetSpeaks.com, Monster US Apparel, Elite Sway Management, Picasso Painting, and a couple other people I can't think of right now. So it's Takeover Tuesday. Hopefully, you're going to be a... how do I say it there, Miss Unbelievable? A sweat equity. You're going to be a sweat equity sponsor. Call in tonight. Let the people know what you got going on, what your business is, what your brand is, and expose yourself to the world. You could take over the show for what, like 30 seconds, something like that? Interview yourself. Right here, Takeover Tuesday. MRL, that's Monsters Radio Live. I'm DJ E Monster. This is Miss Unbelievable. How are you doing tonight, Mama? Hello.
Hey, 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 hey. She good. She good. And how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little nervous now. I'm a little nervous because I know when you come on and you start talking in third person. I know it's not Common Cafe.
Nope, that's Thursday.
No, it's not Wednesday.
Ooh, that's tomorrow. Yeah.
Ain't no telling what we gonna get. Ain't no telling what we gonna get. So let's see. We got entertainment news, who's bumping who and who's getting fat. Gossip lifestyle. We talk about some of the things other people talk about, but our commentary's a little different, player. So, who we talking about tonight? We talking about somebody? Who we got?
Well, we're going to talk about this huge brawl at Arkansas Steakhouse. We're going to talk about DaBaby. I don't know if you guys watched the BET Awards. They was on Channel 4 this year, but for us, yeah, so there was, he performed Tekashi 6ix9ine, Elijah McClain, we're going to talk about Body Cam, Young Dolph discusses the business, Pop Smoke, an update on Garrett Roth and Rashad Brooks in the murder case in Atlanta, an update on the Baltimore family discrimination case, and an update on the former basketball coach here in Minnesota charged with first-degree criminal sexual conduct.
Ooh, it's going to be a lot of head buzzing tonight. So, okay, we're going to see what we got going on. Don't forget you can call in. Give comments on the commentary. You can comment in the link below if you're listening right now on Blog Talk. We'll also read your comments. Let's see. The number is 563-999-3411. You got to press 1, or you can just listen in private. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into some music so we can get this thing going. I'm going to start off like this. This is Afro B, Joanna.
Hey.
Takeover Tuesday. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Step, I'm going to run you over. You step in front of me again. What you got, mommy?
Oh. Hey. Hey.
Joanna, you're busy tonight.
Come on, walk with me.
Making on the dummy tonight. Joanna, you're busy, but you giving me life, oh. Hey, life, eh.
Why you do me like
that? Joanna, Joanna.
Why you do me like
hey, Joanna, Joanna.
How you gonna do me like that?
Joanna, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna. Joanna.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey. How you gonna play me like Drogba, ho? Drogba, ho? How you gonna do me like Drogba, ho? Drogba, ho? Oh, 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 DJ Drogba, ho? Drogba, ho? Hey, DJ Drogba, ho? Drogba, ho? Joanna, you're busy, body busy tonight. Joanna, making all the dummy tonight. Joanna, you're busy, body giving me life, oh. Hey, life, eh. Hey.
Joanna,
Joanna.
How you do me like
hey, Joanna, Joanna.
How you gonna do me like
Joanna, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, Joanna. 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 Why you do me just like that? I go give you all my loving. Love me too, I love you back. Joanna. You be the man damn sugar. Man damn sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hey. Give me your goodie bag, I want your goodie bag, baby. Give me your goodie bag, I want your goodie bag, baby. Big package, hey. How do I manage? Hey, you gon' make me turn savage. Hey, body cause damage. Hey. Joanna, Joanna.
How you do me like
hey, Joanna. Joanna,
how you gonna do me like
Joanna, Joanna,
hey Joanna,
hey Joanna, Joanna,
ay ay ay,
hey, how you gonna play me like Drogba, ho, Drogba, ho, how you gonna do me like Drogba, ho, Drogba, ho, oh, 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 DJ Drogba, ho, Drogba, ho, hey, hey, DJ Drogba, ho, Drogba, ho.
Takeover Tuesday, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Hopefully we'll get Atlanta calling us in tonight. We are the Monstars. Hope y'all is ready for our show tonight. Takeover Tuesday, only night of the week where probably in the world right now, we can call in and take over a radio podcast. Where else they doing that at right now? Talk about just you.
Nowhere.
I ain't think so.
Nowhere.
We ain't even gonna wait. So, Ash, what we on tonight? Whose head we gonna bust first, or we got time, or we head busting? Oh snap, we got a whole lot of time.
We got a whole lot of time, but these are some busters. We're gonna continue the conversation of what we were talking about yesterday, as far as you know, music. That's why I kind of picked a couple of these. Topics of what you was reading, your Erykah Badu meme that you posted yesterday, you know, how we should boycott music and different things like that. So it's interesting to have the Tekashi, the Baby, Young Pop Smoke, whatever, in these guys, and to see, just to hear their stories and to see if there's something that's going to change, you know, within them. That our commentary is going to be like, what? Okay, I see that. So, it's good to see that we could get started early because, you know, we can go. We can go.
Okay,
We about to hit Minneapolis first. So, this one is close to home for me. The former youth basketball coach charged with first-degree sexual criminal conduct was working with my uncle and work with my kids and my nephews and everybody else. And so I'm really connected to this story because he had my kids, you know, in different times I trusted him as well. So he has been charged with first-degree criminal sexual assault. He's been accused of abusing a few kids from the time I knew him till now. The 14-year-old boy informed his mother 3 years earlier that he was assaulted. And this young man, he already was accused before. He already went, Aaron, he already went through the court process, and they found him not guilty. Or so now a second incident was from August 1st, 2016 to June 30th of 2018 when the victim was between 10 and 12. It happened at his home. He was a coach at Hospitality House. He was a worker at a charter school, and he worked at a couple charter schools. There was inappropriate actions between October 2019 to 2019. So there's several victims that said it happened at his home. He also mentioned that his brother was sleeping in another room when he sexually abused him, the complaint says. So I called my uncle, you know, because they worked side by side for like maybe 12 years together. And I was like, do you see what's going on? And he was like, this is false news. So I went on and was like, oh, this is false, this is false. And they were like, correcting me. They was like, no, this is updated, this is brand new. And so I had to be the detective, and I was like, oh, my God, this is brand new. So I had to back it up, you know, if this is true, you know, my bad. But, like, literally, he has been around my kids, been around my uncle's kids, my cousins. And it's really sad because my uncle's like, man, I've been with this man, and I didn't know. I didn't realize it. So this one's hitting close to home. And it's like, you don't know a person really, no matter how close you are, no matter if you work with them, no matter if they was at your house, no matter if you was at their house, no matter if they're God-fearing, no matter if their parents got money, you still don't know that person as well as you thought you did. And we didn't know him as well as we thought he did. So my uncle's distraught right now. He's been trying to talk to him. He's been trying to get to him, but he turned his phone off. He's moving out of his place, and he's going into hiding. So, yeah. Fourth accusation, yes. When it rains, it pours, what they say?
Right. Yeah. There's so many stories. I mean, I can pull out of that little, you know what I mean, that little piece there, like one. Mm-hmm. You know, like you about, you know, about the news, you know what I mean? About you, like, you know, you're like, no, I know these guys, and, you know, I know people that know these people, and, you know, and you guys go out there and be like, no, that can't be right. And then come to find out it is, you know, and then, you know, you got to take the heat because you try to help out a friend of the family or, you know what I mean? It's just crucial all around. And I know it's got to be hectic on the first kid that press charges and the court system said that, you know, it wasn't true. I understand how that works. I know a lot of people like, oh, I'm disgusted. I understand that they just couldn't prove it.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, how do we detect these people to keep them out of situations like that? One, like, I was never into was, you know, I was never really into my kids going to stay at other people's house, especially going to stay at an adult's house. Fuck a coach, shit, I'll bring his ass to the motherfucking bus in the morning. There's no need for my kid to spend a night at your house. Ain't no, we getting up early in the morning type shit. No, I'll bring him in the morning. He can sleep in his own damn bed. Here. It is. No, I'm not saying that that's going to be the scenario in every coach's thing. That some coaches, you know, some coaches are on the up and up. They real. But sometimes to keep, you know, things from like this happening, you just stay out of this. Don't let the scenario create itself at all. I'm not blaming nobody. I'm not shaming nobody. I'm just trying to figure out how not to let that something like that happen. Because, you know, that's going to be trauma on these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And
touchy.
And I got to say, the majority of the kids that he was touching was Mexican, because a lot of the kids that was on the team were Hispanic, who loved the game of baseball. You know what I'm saying? My kids, they were with my uncle, so I didn't have no problem saying, hey, as long as they with you, I'm cool. Because I'm that type of mom where, you can't go. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't your auntie house, I'm that one who ain't even let you go up to your cousin's house. I don't know what's going on at your cousin's house.
Mm-hmm.
Better yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, a stranger's house. When my son was 13, I let him go to the Nationals in Florida. Well, I trusted, you know, a few people that they got my child's back, you know, and you got to know my child, he would probably kill them if someone tried to touch him, you know, but you just got to know your children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an unfortunate situation where usually in a Hispanic culture, they don't tell, you know, they hold it in. It's not like for a Hispanic families, you know, just culturally, for them to speak up if something has happened to them. And as the same as the African-American community. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I will definitely get an update. I'm up close and personal with this situation, so I'll get the ins and outs of the true conversation and the true story of it. He was denying it. But when the warrant came out for his arrest, he couldn't deny it no more, you know. So I give, you know, my prayers and sympathy goes out to the family. It's hard when it hits home and you know someone, but that's almost like when a family member touches your child. Who are you going to rally behind the child or the person that you know? You got to rally behind the child to make sure that child knows they're supported, because the adult should know better. You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
so
right.
Moving
that's a touchy
on.
One yep.
Yeah.
What we got?
So, I don't know if you guys knew that this story was a huge story, where the Baltimore discrimination with the mother and son, where the little boy was denied coming into the restaurant over his dress code. After the same outfit that a white little boy had on, they let him in, but they didn't let him in. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that. What's the scoop?
Oh, okay. So this mom was refused a table in Baltimore at this restaurant because they're talking about the outfit he had on, a Jordan shirt, Jordan pink shorts. Did not match the dress code. He's 9 years old. They announced, but this happened last week, but the parents has announced that they were going to do a lawsuit against the restaurant company, was discriminated over a dress that was based on a video. So, as I was saying, a white kid wearing almost identical outfits was allowed into the restaurant. But for whatever reason, she wasn't allowed entrance, and they were told her son outfit wasn't up to code, and it wasn't racism. It was just firsthand, and that's how they felt. The young man said the whole experience made him feel heartbroken. The restaurant says, oh, they used poor judgment. They wasn't trying to discriminate against him, but point blank they was. When you see the video, you see the maitre d' come. He's got on all black. You see the manager come. And they're like, no, he can't come in here. But says goodbye to the white couple that has the exact same outfit on. The little boy, just a little bit younger, walk out the restaurant. So they're moving forward in their lawsuit. They're saying forget that. The Atlas restaurant group did apologize real quick. They couldn't understand why the manager did that. they said the situation could have gone left, especially if the cops were called and things escalated because of how they felt discriminated against. They tell us that in the aftermath, it sounds like they're having family and friends help with the injustice and say boycott that restaurant, don't go there. But yet this is firsthand. They're saying how their son can learn to be a young activist to help others not to feel how he felt.
That's crazy. So are you saying that the same outfit they deny him from wearing, a kid walked out of the restaurant wearing?
Absolutely. A white kid.
And they got that on video?
Yes.
Oh, they going down. They going down. I mean, think about it, people. In today's age, it's 2020. You said how old was the boy that was denied? 9 years old?
Nine. Mm-hmm. And they said the little boy was like five or six.
Yeah, it's like this.
Come on with it.
Oof. It's crazy how racism has a face like that. It's crazy. I think the best way to combat that, yes, we got to boycott that. Ah, man. Oof. This is one of them ones where you just be like, you know what? I don't know if I should even go there. Because I don't even know where to go. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes when we comment on things, we got to wait till we take our emotion out of it. Because that's kind of tipping me. That's tipping me right now. You think I'm talking about it's pushing me. Kind of heavy. I'm starting to push back. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to let my emotions die down. Maybe we'll come back to this. And then I'll comment. Because right now, yeah. Yeah, maybe we should come back. Just let my little emotions come down a little bit. Because this down right there kind of hits me hard. Because there's some things, I'm going to tell y'all something that happened to me when I was younger. I was a young kid. When I first was really, really pushed, it was pushed in my face. Racism. I was real young.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it kind of hits me with the kids. When adults do stuff like this to kids, it hits that nerve with me. It hits that nerve. So we're going to come back to that one.
What else come back to that one.
I mean, unless you want to comment on it, go ahead. But I'm going to reframe right now.
You know, the interesting thing with that, my son, my youngest son, he's so like pro, get out my face. Don't fuck with me type. I'll hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So one day he went to a school that was considered, you know, it was a hood school, but it was considered white. You know, white folks was where it was. It was in a, you know, predominantly white neighborhood. And the teacher got in his face and, you know, was spitting and was like, call your mama, you, and then it was just like being real disrespectful. And my son, he was like, oh yeah, I'll call my mom, but the outcome ain't gonna be what you think the outcome is gonna be if I call my mom. So he was like, call your mom, in his face, spitting and all kind of stuff. White teacher. So he calls me, and he's got me on speaker, and the black mom and me, you know what I'm saying, wanted to be like, motherfucker, why are you in my son's face? You know, I wanted to just snap off. You know, don't be sitting in my son's face, you know, sending him out. You know, you don't got to make him a mockery. He's a black kid. You're white. I wanted to just snap off, right?
Natural motherly
instinct. I wanted to show him that you cannot degrade my son in front of a classroom. But that is exactly what he was so used to black parents doing. So he thought that if I can just flick the switch, it'll happen. My response was, son, I'm going to need you to just to walk out the door, go to your counselor, or go to your person that I told you that you need to go to. And I said, I will handle the teacher when I get there. Your job is to listen. My job is to handle that situation. So when I think about stuff like that, it's like we have to train our kids at an early time, you know, at a young age to say, this happens. Here's how you respond. This will keep you out of jail. Even when you go into a restaurant, yes, they have the right to deny you. They do. That's the restaurant. But then I have a right to protest you. I have a right to write a bad review about you. I have a right to make sure that no one else comes to you by the way you treat somebody. So I think with most of the things, we have power in standing your ground a different way instead of always the hood, black way, angry woman, angry black man. You could get them a whole different way. And so once we learn how to hit people in a pocket instead of hitting them with words, hit them with actions. Write to their consumers. You know, write to the consumers board. This is how they're treating me. This is how I was treated. Write to your attorney general. This is how that person treated me. They love letters. You see what I'm saying? But that's the only way that you are going to make a dent in someone's pockets, because you can sit there, argue with the people all you want to, but they still can deny you. You still can have that way of, why are you being so disrespectful? That person came in, but just make sure I'm videotaping it. This is going to be seen. Now they know how you are, you as a person. This is who they hired. You are a representation of that company. Now I can make a mockery out of them this way instead of making a mockery out of myself and cussing you out. I ain't got to do that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to sue you. You got people. We have different ways that we can go about doing stuff to companies that will make a difference. All your back talk now, that ain't making no difference. That's just them pinning us the same way, like I said, as angry black men, angry black women who don't know how to handle business. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
sometimes we got to jump out of character. But like I was talking last week with me and Jazzy, when Jazzy was here, and she was like, oh, I love to snap off. I love to snap off in an intelligent way where they can have nothing to say.
True. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure you threw him off. Cause, you know, he would probably want to be like, call your mom. And then when your mom gets out here, she going to act up, and I'm going to be like, oh, it's a family thing. No wonder why he's disrespectful.
Yep.
But no, do that ass for a loop. You go to the counselor. Get in, and like I said, you didn't let your emotions take over the situation or the conversation.
Yep.
You handle it. You know what I mean? And that's what we got to do now as, you know, as adults. You know, we talked about mental health. That's part of mental health, being in control of your emotions, being able to conversate, even though you're angry, because you can put your emotions to the side. Or sometimes you just got to say, I'm gonna get back to you on that in a minute. I'm in my feelings.
Okay.
And I'm not finna do that. Get it? And from now, I'm not gonna say I get out of character. I'm gonna say I'm gonna show you. I had to show them some character. Get it?
Yeah.
That's what it is. You want to act out, I act out with you. Sometimes you got to act, but you got to meet them halfway. It's just what it is. But you don't have to do it every time. Pick it. Like they say, pick your battles. Don't go to battle every day. That's stressful. Pick your battles. So, yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, even if you are meeting them character to character, make sure your character doesn't mimic that person's character. Make sure your character is taking you elevated where they have to look at themselves and be like, I was dumb for doing that. If you can't make someone, you know, be like, man, why I even say anything? You level to level. I'm going to make you look at yourself and be like, oh, I shouldn't even say nothing. You damn right you shouldn't have. You damn right. Now let's move on.
Right. Hold on. Let's take a break right quick. Slap a song in here by Frank Footer. This is called In the Air right here. Takeover Tuesday. When we come back, we're going to get back into some more Who's Bumping Who's Getting Fat. Brought to you by Miss Unbelievable.
Check this out. Monsters Radio Live Podcast, Tuesday night, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Trying to kick it off. I'm with it tonight. I'm trying to trick it off. The money keep me motivated. So I smile for the haters because I know they hate it. MDMA all over the ad list. We the team that get it popping. So what's happening? Better be body body. Keep the strap, bitch. Cause talking that trap shit and get your clap, queen. I'ma knock it out the park and she throw it at me. You know you're king when she call you daddy. I got a pocket full of money and I'm trying to throw it.
What?
Throw it,
what?
Throw it,
what?
Throw it.
Oh, woo!
For a real nigga, cause she ain't worried about them little niggas. Cause little niggas never get the picture, and real niggas never leak a picture. I mean, what's hell with you and your friend? I know we did it once, we could do it again. I'm worldwide on some global shit, so I'ma lead you niggas to that local shit. Yeah, I know you think it's fuck, but don't bag it up if you can't bag it up. I got a pocket full of money and I'm trying to throw it.
What?
Throw it,
what?
Throw it,
what?
Throw it.
Throw it.
Frankfurter in the air. Let me see. Does this have his information?
Well, yeah. This your boy Frankfurter. I'm rocking with the homie E Monster. What's good?
All right. Tonight we're bringing it back. It's unbelievable. Let's see here. So what we got next on the chop block on this? Who's bumping? Who's getting fat?
Okay. So here's an update now. Rashad Brooks' murder. Judge sets $500K bond for Garrett Rolfe. Brooks' widow gives emotional impact statement. Who is the little old white lady? Oh, my goodness. Little old white lady. Attorney for the Brooks family tells, they're disappointed that his killer was granted bond today. They understand that this is just one step in a long quest for justice. For Rashad, they added, we will be diligent in our pursuit of justice for this family and will do everything we can in our power to make sure Rashad Brooks will not lose his life in vain. The judge set bond at $500,000. Half of the amount is $250K, straight bond for the felony murder charge, and the other half is a combination of bonds for all his other charges. The judge also imposed conditions. He must surrender his passport, wear an ankle monitor, obey a curfew. He has no contact with the family. No contact with the witnesses. He may not communicate with any Atlanta police officers. His phone passcode must be requested by the state. says a hearing, and so she made the point that all evidence must be preserved. All evidence must be given up. And so the mom, the widow of the guy delivered an incredible emotional impact statement during the hearing. Says her life has been completely turned upside down. Her husband was killed. She can't eat. She can't sleep. She can't console her children. Miller says Brooke did not deserve to die, and her family has suffered so much emotional harm since his life was taken. She's asking Judge to deny the bond. She mentally can't handle it, but the bond was granted. Anyway, the state set it higher. It recommended a $1 million bond, but that didn't happen. His disclosed location of where he's living must be given up as well. And he must not possess any weapons. So his conditions are stricter than any conditions I've heard for a police officer.
Right, right. Like I said before, I think the guys that are doing stuff right now, they're gonna stone them. They're gonna make examples of every last one of them, because every thing right now, the police department needs to prove something that they're not allowing this. This is not acceptable anymore. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to put it out there, just like with the conviction of, I don't know how much time he got, but the police officer here with the lady from Australia. They're not just letting it slide anymore. They're going to start to, make example of certain people, and that's what they're going to do. And I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to see what's going to go on. Do I think they should be letting these guys out on bail and bonds for the sake of what's going on with all the protests and things like that, and even for their own, I know it sounds bad, but their own safety, I think they should be in lockup. It is what it is, because when they're on the streets, it's going to cause malice. And that's what they're supposed to protect, people from malice, okay? So I think, you know, they shouldn't be allowed bond. I think just for the people. I seen one with the one officer that could have got ugly. The one of the officers from George Floyd situations. He got caught out at a place just shopping. The lady went in on him. As they should. But it can get ugly real quick like that. That's just my opinion.
I agree to a point, because to me, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Damned if I stay out because people don't, they want to kill me there. Damned if I do, if I put someone away falsely in the prison that I have to share the cell with. Mm-hmm. So damned if they do, damned if they don't. I think if you just do right, you wouldn't even have this situation. But they give bond to almost everybody. When it comes to a cop, and I think they're making it clear what they're accepting and what they're not accepting. I think they're saying, we agree, we can't hide it no more. There's nowhere for them to hide. I think, they're uncovering, the masks are coming off, the hoods are coming up, so before they can hide behind the hoods of the KKK or their racism. Now, the hoods are coming off. We're seeing the KKK in their face. And it's not what we're expecting, but it's what it is. So I think, like you said, they're about to make a mockery out of everybody and anybody who decides to now go against the blue. I feel like a new blue family is presenting themselves. I think there's going to be two sides. I think you're going to have the old against the new. Now, my thing is, who going to last? Who going to outlast who? You're going to have the old family that stuck together, and now you're going to have a new family that's going to stick together. Who's going to outlast who? And whose strategies are going to work to make the difference? Because it's going to take the good cops to overtake the bad cops, because we can protest all we want, but they live inside that family, and unless they deal with the family, it ain't gonna be dealt with. That's almost like a kid in the with the dad and the mom, and the kid goes to the mom and say, "What the mom say? What did dad say?" And then the dad, the kid goes to the dad, "What did mom say?" So it's like that's the game we're playing, and whose voice is going to override who? Because in that, let's go see together. We can't go see together. because they're not on common ground. They still think that violence is the way to subdue somebody and to keep my knee on your neck or my foot on your neck. That's how they're gonna be. But those who don't believe it, let's just see who's strong enough to stand. And that brings me to body cam interest rising amongst law enforcement. So you know they're supposed to turn on the body cam. The agencies are becoming proactive about the recordings in the officers with the body cams. The company who supplies the law enforcement are both telling us that they have influx of inquiries over the past month. They're making them smaller in size, and that means more police officers can have them on them. Most places are mandatory for them to have them, and the rush for body cams was evident in 2016 when the first set of officers was doing injustice stuff. Several police departments said that they have announced policy change to make body cams mandatory going forward. So far, only two states have this requirement.
Right. I think body cams are A1. I think they're A1 when it comes to evidence on what actually happened, what went down, what verbal tones were taken, what words were said, those type of things. But I think the greatest thing that they've done throughout all of this, when it comes to all of this stuff, I'm going to make y'all wait for a commercial. I'm just kidding. I think they're making the other officers accountable. You know, like you said, it's like a team, a family. Well, guess what? Now they're saying if this person has done something to violate someone's right and kill them, all the other officers that were present that did not step in and stop it from happening are being charged as well. Now, I think that's where the real breakthrough is being made. Because now other people can be like, nah, bro, you're not going to destroy my career because you mad at little bro, man. Or you mad at such and such. You know what I mean? So I think that's the greatest part that came out of this. Now other people are being held accountable. So now it's not just, oh, that officer did it. Well, our team, no. Now you're up for debate too. Why did you let it happen? You were standing there. You made an oath to protect people. Do your job.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
so I think body
you know
cams
how
is
we're.
Cool, but.
You know, I think body cams are cool, but I think they have definitely they know how to manipulate the film in there. So. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They know how to cut it, slice it, and show us what we want to see instead of the whole thing. That's the only thing that pisses me off. So, remember how we was talking about how used to want to fight when someone used to step on our back of our heels or when you got too close up on us? Well, at the steakhouse brawl, fist fly over social distancing. You're too damn close. A melee broke out in Arkansas with one restaurant customer, so others were too close for comfort, but they all got much closer with breaking bottles and punching each other. This nasty fight went down at the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Little Rock, Arkansas. And the video shows four Golden Dachshunds going at it Saturday night. According to cops, tension rise when one patron complained about social distancing. You can see her, the complaining someone else had coughed on her. Here's your scoreboard based on the police report. The black woman claims the white guy and his friends were not staying 6 feet away from her. And when she expressed her frustrations, they started harassing her. There are different accounts of who started coughing purposely on people. At that rate, everyone agrees. Things escalated from there. And in the video, you see the brawl really explode when a black guy at the bar turned around with a bottle of glass and smashed another guy in the head. At the end of the day, two guys were cited for battery, and everyone went about their business. of social distancing or not?
Well, all I can say is, Lil Rock, I can't be mad at you. I heard a lot of co-signing for some ass whoopings in there, especially with the coughing. Oh, my goodness. I'm pretty sure that was another situation, and bear with me, people. I'm just making space for conversation, but I'm pretty sure the person that initially got told, you need to stand back a little bit further, bruh. I'm pretty sure that person got in their feelings. I don't know what it is about us as adults. We feel when somebody tells us what we're supposed to be doing anyway, but we're not doing it, we get upset. Did it? I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that person got in their feelings, and that's exactly where it all started. No matter how they say, she said, unless you turn around, look, motherfucker, you need a goddamn step back on my kung fu kick you in the ball. Now, unless she did something like that, and I highly doubt it. The attitude of the black women is overrated. They always like they just go too far and just right off the rip. No, y'all take them there, and then that's when they go that far. I'm just saying. So I'm pretty sure that's what the altercation was. The person got told to back up. Because I'm not going to lie, when the person told me today, only 4 people in the store, I immediately, my attitude went like, what is... But then I thought about it. They're telling me what's right. It says right there on the door, E. Only 4 people at the time. But I got in my emotions when she first said it. I had to check myself because I was about to wreck the whole donut shop. Yeah, I was in the donut place. Shut up.
But I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm skinny. When I get hungry, I get a concussion. I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that's where it started when she said, I need you to step back a little bit, sir, and keep the 6-foot rule. Because that's something that's real in today's age. With the whole spacing thing, everybody ain't respecting the space part. Let's keep it 100. They not.
Yeah.
But whoa.
They're not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you now,
there's
if I ask someone to step back and that person want to start harassing me, because I'm asking you to follow social distance. For me, it all depends who you catch. You know what I'm saying? I think we all have, if we're tired and we're just there to drink, you know, because we had a long day, then you're going to catch one. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm just there, just got there, just kicking it, I can move somewhere else so you don't. But if you follow me, now you may catch the other person that was tired. So I think that's a touchy subject because respect my space if I'm respecting yours. And then you're going to cough? Oh, man. But then to hit a person over the head with a bottle? Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? Because things can get out of hand. But those are the things that we wanted to do back in the day when someone's all up and breathing all on your neck and you'd be like, you too close. Why do I feel your breath on me? Like, move back.
Right.
So, yeah.
This was before
the
quarantine.
This is before. Yeah. But now if you don't know what that person have and if you could get me sick, then I know where to get it from, then I'm really going to wish I would have whipped your ass. Because now I got this big-ass bill. Or I'm sick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then I would have wished, I should have whipped your ass. And you don't cough to me, now I'm sick. Let me find you. Because now I'm really going to whoop your ass. So if you just whoop your ass and get it over with, boom, boom, bam, bam, there you go. We done with the situation.
Right. Now, I'm just going to say, I know in Arkansas it gets hot. So, you know, things is a little different when you're hot. But I'm going to keep it 100. I'm not fighting with now one of you little coronavirus suspect-looking motherfuckers. I'm not finding. I'm shadow boxing with your ass. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm staying 6 feet back. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm looking like what's his name from George Jefferson. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, I'm not punching nobody, and I'm jumping in my car, pulling off. Skirt. Call me what you want to. You dig? I'm not touching now one of y'all suspect coronavirus looking. No. I'm good.
Now.
You dig?
You good?
I'm good. Shadow box.
Well, that's the way the fans feel about Pop Smoke's album cover. Pop Smoke's fan has spoken loud and clear over the cover art designed by Virgil for the rapper's post album is trash, so a change is coming. You know, Pop highly anticipated album Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon is set to release July. But when the cover art was revealed Monday, it was widely ridiculed and roasted, and fans immediately demanded a do-over. Among the most common complaints about the cover, the lazy Photoshop job, along with their photo of Smoke, that's the first one that comes up on Google Images.
Oh, wow.
In defense for Virgil posted the artwork, he said he hadn't just finished and explained this album cover was like five things we talked about. He mentioned his story felt like the metaphor of a rose of thorns growing from concrete of his hood. So that's what he was trying to convey. However, it didn't convey that well.
Wow. I don't know what to say. it's kind of bad, yeah, when the fans come out and be like, that's trash, do it over.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you on that
like,
one. It said the first thing that came up on Google search.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Man, that's bad. That means you really ain't got no photos of your own. You got to go search on Instagram or Google. Are you serious? That's like me saying, we cool. We was working on something. I'm part of Monsters Radio, and the first thing I pull up is that I use on my page is something from on Google. Do you really rock with me? No. Come on, I should have photos that don't nobody have. You know what I'm saying? Especially when he said y'all been working together, you should have photos that no one has. You should not even Photoshop. Man, get the hell up out of here. Man, that's lazy.
Well, check it out. On that note, I'm going to throw in your request. I guess when you do something, and it's supposed to be something to be in respect to somebody, especially somebody that passed. Take your time with it. This is Young TM Bugsy. Don't rush.
Hey, Take Over Tuesday. Yep, I took over for this song. Yes, I did. 563-999-3411.
Brian on white. I got good guns. Grab them by. They can go bust. Eye for eye. They can lose trust. White rum, easy pop. Where you they go, with they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off. Slam the trash, man it's so tough. Alright yo, put the belly on the body, make a clutch. She no watch, now she wanna give crutch. Boy got peas, now she hopping in the pod. Man a real life sugar gal, and my forget what. When she want dark, so they meet me at the top. Switching lanes the other day, I seen her waiting for a bus. Maybe this a Moncler sweater, diesel denim. Buy another one, my pockets fight like heather. Neck froze like I don't know no better. Benzo truck, white seats and they leather. Go broke never, on my grind. She make it clap like I'm Busta Rhyme. I got the juice, the sauce and all them things. I blammed her twice a night with all my bling. Big Benz, I drive, I brought that thing. Any girl you want, they want my thing. Don't rush, slow touch, brown or white. I got good guns, grab and buy. They can go bust, eye for eye. They can lose trust, white rum, easy pop. Where you they go, with they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go up. Slam the trash, man it's so tough. Flood my eyes, make a whole blush. Back of the tour bus, getting cool up. D square, got them de-stressed. Got a hand wash, new racks with the old Nikes in the shoebox. Keep my stripes, no cuss. Pull up in a new plate, then she might just. She went trying to move bait when her eyes locked. New tints on the coupe, that's a head loss. Off my whites, right my wrongs. Bitchy my mom, why you to do your thumbs? Count my sums, this is gonna get long. Love my green, I'm trying to get strong. Tryna get on, where I'm from, it's fun. Yes, man don't take no dumb threats. They see funds, they hop fence. We been up, not up, next. Don't rush, slow touch, brown and white. I can go country, grab and buy. They can go bust, eye for eye. They can lose trust, white rum, dizzy pop. Where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go up.
Take over to
love that song.
Love the vibe of that. Love the vibe of it. So, all right, Young T and Bugsy, don't rush. Make sure you check it out. Hit them up on all social media and let them know, hey, we heard your song on Monster US Radio Podcast, MRL. So, all right, what else we got on the who's bumping who? Who's getting fat?
So, Tekashi 6ix9ine and Nicki Minaj Troll suffers biggest chart fall ever for a song debuting at number one. So Tekashi's recent track Trolls have landed the biggest chart fall in history for a single debut at number one on the Billboard. So last week, Nicki Minaj and him collaborated on a song that debuted on the top Hot 100 charts after selling 116 equivalent units. One of that song, 36 million, were streamed while it earned 1.2 million radio airplay. Audience was impressed. It marked 6ix9ine's first number one and is only the 40th song ever to debut at number one on the Hot 100 in chart history. He celebrated achievement by posting a video on Instagram, which saw him popping a bottle of champagne while repeatedly claiming to be unstoppable. However, according to chart data this week, right now, Troll suffered the biggest fall for a number one debut in hit history. Although it's not yet known at what number the song has fallen to, it has fallen dramatically. meanwhile, Nicki Minaj appears to apologize to Cardi B for something she said. They tweeted each other, a mix-up, sister over party. So, you know. Saying I'm the best, you know, Nicki got caught up, and then Cardi B had to put her in a place, and then she was like, my bad, my bad, my bad.
Yeah. So, you're saying he dropped that, him and Nicki dropped the album now after he's been out in the whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it went number one. It went number one, and now it's fallen from number one to probably like 10,300,063 and 42. Don't nobody like him.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess you might as well put the champagne back. But I mean, obviously he made money off of it. Shit. I don't know what to say. I mean, So it says, so how many units?
I know you just don't ask me that. I don't close it off because, you know, after I talk about it, I'm done with him.
Right. I don't know. I think you said 100,000. But the views, kind of knew he would get the views because people, you know, they want to see what he's up to.
So he got 116 units, 36 million were streams, while 1.2 million radio airplay.
Sounds like he said 116 units.
Yeah, 116 equivalent units. Of all the sum of 36 million were streams, while it earned 1.2 million radio airplays.
All right, maybe I'm missing something.
Hi. I don't care about. I don't care.
Right. It's like I'm not even. I can't even. Pretend to want to give him energy at this point.
Me neither. So, Young Dolph discusses the business of running a rap label and why he hasn't dropped an album in years. I have no clue who this man is.
Oh my goodness.
There's not. Is it Young Dolph?
You don't know.
Young Dolph? Am I?
Young Dolph?
Am I saying this? Yeah, who is he?
Young Dolph, he's like, let's see, I think, matter of fact, I don't want to say, I want to say it was him and I can't even really say it was him and another New York rapper. They had bump heads really heavy. But Young Dolph, I think he's from the South somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he's like from Atlanta, I don't know, Carolina somewhere, but he's down there. Let's see, matter of fact. Let's see.
They say he's a Memphis rapper.
There we go, Memphis. Yeah, like here's one. Here's some one of his songs. Hold
on. I did this shit on my own, nigga. Hey. Word on the street, that little nigga ill. Word on the street, that little nigga for real.
Excuse the language. Hold on. Give him a second.
Gave you the chills, ran through a half a mil. We ain't got no record deals on my own though. Roll up my own smoke. Started getting money and couldn't trust my own folks.
Damn.
She got booty shots or not? Shit, I don't know. I fuck my own hoe.
Yeah.
And probably yours too,
come
nigga.
On, man.
I learned how to weigh up dope when I was going to school, nigga. That's why I thought it.
Anyway, that's Young Dolph. Money on My Phone. That was like a really big song when it came out. Because, you know, it's like Money on My Phone. It was a hot song that had came out. Young Dolph is big down south, and he's big here too. But yeah. We almost did something with him through my music plug. So Young Dolph is really big. So I want to know why he hasn't dropped an album in a while.
Okay, he said, well, you can't do nothing that you do inside. You're a street team. You're market promoter. Memphis rapper says about how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted him. The only thing you can do is record. So through details on long-awaited follow-up to 2018's Role Model Remains Scarce, Dolph was feeding the market with singles over the past two, including with R&B Megan Thee Stallion, Quarantine Theme Sunshine. His latest track is Blue Diamonds, which dropped this week. It's in the nearly 2 years that has passed since his last solo album, Dolph has mainly focused on the other job of running the independent-owned paper route Empire Record Label. He continues to grow by his roster by signing and releasing music from like-minded hip artists like Big Moochie, Great, Jay Fizzle, Kenny Mooney. Last summer, he put out a joint mixtape with Memphis-based rapper Key Glock called Dumb and Dumber, which debuted at 8. Since Glock has gone on to release more projects, he's 22 years old. He's a millionaire. He got everything paid for. Dolph says of his younger success and how it reflects on his enterprise. He said, it sounds like I'm bragging, but the people that respect it and the hustle things, damn this dude, he just pulled it off. So he has been the CEO. He's been looking for talent. He said the music is the tricky side of the industry. He said that's why his whole thing was to figure out everything and believing in his label. And once he got up, everything in his label got that snatch. He was going to stand on his music and be beneficial to the other side. He said he felt like he had to take a break. The game almost broke him, but he's consistently back on track now. He's put on project, some different vibes, a different sound, a new wave, new artists. He really wanted the growth, so he took time out to learn how to mix and master, how to be the best CEO, how to be an artist, how to get his music mixed in with everything that he does as an engineering project manager and all that. He said whatever he needed to do, shoot videos, he had to learn it all, and that was his attitude of why he hasn't been out.
That should be an inspiration to all you, all artists and entrepreneurs out there right now. You can't be out there in the field, master your craft to elevate up to another level on what you've already doing, what you're already doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's hella intelligent right there. It's monstrous moves. Love it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad that, you know, some people who leave out the hood don't think about doing that. They just think about, let me get this quick money, this quick upfront money, and then don't do nothing with it. He reminds me of Master P, you know, how he flipped his empire. Instead of just rapping, he said, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. So I salute the rappers who's now coming up trying to say, okay, I need more than just to rap. I need to invest. And like we were talking yesterday, maybe that may change their music around once they start seeing how wealth can, you know, bring riches to them as well. And it ain't about how much pussy you can knock over or how many niggas you can knock off or how much pussy you getting in or I'm the best rapper unknown as unto man. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they may have a different thing to rap about or to, you know, bring to the table considering all that's going on. Maybe they'll learn, hey, I had a setback, and talk about how it took for them to do business. And yet, you know, the business has their favorites and has loops and bounds. And if you ain't to this, you got to do this. And if you ain't connected to them, you can't succeed. So I think, you know, when rappers really have to face, you know, really want to face coming out the ghetto and having a ghetto mentality, I think most of the rappers can see the wealth instead of just the money. You know, like I look at Cardi B and I be like, man, that hoe knows she getting it in. Man, she knows she doing it right. But she learned from stripping or whatever she was doing, like, this hustle's going to make it for me. This ain't who I am, but it takes a lot to keep your body in shape, to work out, to, you know, keeping your mind right, keep making your money go places. I mean, you don't know how much of the streets help you with your hustle, but once you've done with, you know, not being ever done with the streets, but once you got that knowledge of moving forward to elevate yourself, man, you're a beast to be reckoned with. Are you talking? Because you got yourself on mute.
Oh, I sure do. My bad. The mutiny. I'm glad you like how you pointed that out about how, you know, she started out as a stripper and she made it a game and look what she took it to with the business. You know what I mean? That's dope. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, some artists, they start off, you know, whether it be selling dope or whatever your hustle is and da-da-da-da-da-da, but take it like we're saying. You get in the music game, turn it into a real business, a real power tool to keep you from going back to that. Look at Cardi now. She got hella hits that's going to bring her money for years and years to come. It ain't her and that Bruno shit is like hot as hell. That's like classic music. That's going to ride for a long time. She's in movies, TV shows, all kinds of things. All that from, she said, I'm not going to be a stripper no more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to invest all my energy, the stuff I learned from doing this, invest my energy in that and make it work for me. And hand or purr, however she do it. However it is, she global now with it. So, take your hustle serious.
Yeah.
Treat it like a powerhouse because that's what everybody else did that's got it. Jay and Dame, that's what they did. Jay-Z, Dame and Dash, that's what they did. They took their hustle and ran with it. Even P. Diddy took his hustle and ran with it. Master P, so many. What's his name? Oh, my gosh. Strange Music. He's like the guy I look up to when it comes to being an independent artist. Used to open up for Insane Clown Posse. Oh, I'll drip by mail from Kansas City. Oh, my Tech N9ne. Took his hustle to a whole nother level. So,
I forgot about him.
E-40. There's a lot of people out there that really just jumped into their game and really made something of it. Didn't play with it. Like I said, didn't just chase after the women and the little fame. Really made something out of it. And part of it is in your craft. learning to mix and master, all those type of things. And even if you even if it's something else, whether you're an artist, learn, keep your line straight, make your shit crisp, do whatever. When it comes to, you know, you got a book, you know, exercise your creativity to help you write creatively. All kinds of things you could be doing, but take your craft serious.
Yeah. And don't limit your craft. Like, most people limit. They say, okay, this is all I can do, and I can't do no more. Like, if you do voiceovers, man, go act. If you write books, man, write a movie. Don't limit yourself to just in this section that, like, you can expand your gifts and your talents. You don't have to keep your gifts and talents in a box, because if it's your opportunity be waiting for you. We stop ourselves from walking into our opportunity because we don't believe in ourselves and our gifts and talents that we have. So I think once you start believing in yourself and not limiting yourself, you can make wealth all around you. Don't just limit, like, okay, Miss Unbelievable, so let me speak. You wrote a book. Okay. Now you did another book. Okay. Now you did another book. Okay, what you going to do besides books? Okay. Well, maybe I may write a movie. Maybe I may write a TV show. Maybe I may write some scripts. But I know that I can't stop from, you know, writing books.
Right.
Here's our last one, who's up and who. So DaBaby, and I want to know how you feel about this. And I need this raw emotion when I debate when we come back with commentary. DaBaby reenacts Joy Floyd's death at the BET Awards. DaBaby debuted a controversial pre-tape performance of Rockstar on Sunday, in which he reenacts George Floyd's death. You see him rapping with the cop on his neck. The show went entirely virtual for the first time ever due to concerns over the coronavirus, which has shut down major films, TV productions, and forced award shows to reissue how they'll air. Aimed at night of impressive pre-tape performance, DaBaby and Roddy Ricch debuted a rendition of Rock Style. They sparked both praise and backlash. Like I said, the music video opens up with DaBaby lying flat on the ground, which appears to be a white police officer kneeling on his neck. The image was obviously referring to Floyd, who died. This sparked a nationwide thought of, why is he doing this? But the remainder of the baby's video showed the artist performing on a burning police car surrounded by mass protesters wearing shirts that read Black Lives Matter, I am George Floyd and more. Other parts of the video show police in riot gear chasing protesters as the baby and Rich perform amidst the chaos. This powerful image with the young girl walking with the camera while holding up a sign that reads More Love. She walks out the audio made by the 9-year-old Zaina speech that the city councilman. So this was a powerful and moving performance that was aired on, like I said, WCCO here, Channel 4, on a major platform. He took advantage of it. I applaud him.
Right. I believe everybody has a way of protesting. Everybody has a right to that, especially as American. I think his way of protesting is valid because that's him. First of all, protest ain't supposed to make you feel comfortable. And if it made you feel uncomfortable, that's how you're supposed to feel. Because what you've seen that was done to him in reenactment really happened to George Floyd. That's how you're supposed to be feeling. You're just channeling your upset and your emotions at the wrong person, in my opinion. And to chastise him will be just like trying to chastise Kaepernick. That was his protest, which everybody took out of context and said, oh, this, that, and try to ostracize him and all that other stuff. But it was for a damn good reason, wasn't it? I haven't seen it, so I can't really say how I felt about it because I haven't seen it. But I'm just speaking on the matter of protesting and how people protest. It's like another thing I was thinking about today. I don't know how, but I was sitting here thinking, like, you know, when it comes to the N-word, and I say, you know, I always say people need to stop saying it. I still truly believe it, but who am I to say that somebody can't say something?
Yeah.
Some people say they do it in rebellion. If that's what you feel, then you have the right to do that. Who am I to say, oh, you can't say that? I can say I disagree with it. I don't like it. But who am I to try to make you change on what you do? Are you feeling how you feel? How I feel is how I feel. I just got to learn to accept that. And don't try to judge somebody because of that's what they do. And I just because I disagree with it. I can live with it. I'll be all right.
Because who says who's right or who says who's wrong? You know, whose truth is your truth is not my truth and my truth is not your truth. But you can stand on your truth and I can stand on my truth. And we have to be okay with the truth that we believe in because it's my belief. It's who I believe in. You know, different circumstances make me believe it. You know, I may have been raised different than you. So the value of what you think may not be the value of what I think. We could discuss it. It could become a great topic of communication. But doesn't mean I'm going to change your view on the topic just because we conversed it. You know what I'm saying? So it is standing in your own truth to know who you are. And, you know, you can't change a person, but you can, hey, things touch you in different ways. You could see someone get shot, and, you know, I may be screaming and hollering, and you may just be sitting there numb because you're used to it. You see what I'm saying? So, and then I may look at you and be like, why you ain't crying? And then you may look at me like, why are you crying? You know what I'm saying? So it's like we don't understand where people have been, what they value, what they don't value. But what we do know is at the bottom line, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, and how you see things is how you see things. And I and we have to learn to agree, to disagree, and be okay. And don't internalize it as, oh, they're not listening to me, or we ain't, you know, we ain't seeing eye to eye. I don't know where that came from. Seeing eye to eye may never happen. Unless you, I don't know. I don't even know how that, it's just a respect value. I respect what you say, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Right. All right. So I guess that's going to be our show for tonight. If you're listening now, you're listening to the archives, and you are special. You dig? Don't forget to check out SoulInMeSpeaks.com, MindStarsRadio.com, and our other sponsors on social media, Elite Sway Management, Picasso Painting, and Monster U.S. Apparel. So, all right, it's unbelievable. Any last words before we fade up out of here?
I'll see y'all for Wet Wednesday tomorrow, and join the movement www.sodomyspeaks.com. We got a lot going on over there. Have a good night.
And there it is. Enjoy yourself. If you didn't do nothing great today, don't forget you can wake up tomorrow and still do something monstrous. Enjoy the night. Peace.
Peace.